sometimes block my view. Take this heart of mine and lead me, Lord, to a realm of faith and love I've never been. Every day it stays the same. People come and go, mindlessly about their way to the streets they roam. No sure promises, no fail-proof plans. They're devoting their lives to a purpose, building futures on.
Choir sings that has words in it about being used by the Lord. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. How does that chorus go? Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, and speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. There may be another one. We were driving down the road a few days ago. Destiny and Sister Shirley were sitting in the back seat. And Destiny started singing that song. Needless to say, as any good red-blooded American grandparent, when that little two-and-a-half-year-old started singing, "If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me," I thought, I thank God that she would sing that song instead of a lot of songs that are being sung by children today. Now, without Brother Nicky knowing anything at all about what I'm going to preach today, I guess that would be a foundation for the message that I would preach. Those are not just words. Lyrics are, that's not just a song. That is a testimony of my heart. I will surrender and give up everything in the world. And I'm going to tell you something. That's deeper than just sacrifice of things that you may possess. Because there are times that even I myself, I'm not willing to give up the kind of flesh that I need to give up to be used. I know what it takes to be used of God. Most of you know what it takes to be used of God. Jesus said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And it's true, because we know, without any doubt, the more we pray and consecrate ourselves to God, the closer we're going to be drawn to Him, and the more He is going to use us. He is going to use us. I want to be used by the Lord. I want to be used to be a witness. I want to be used to administer the gifts of the Spirit to the needy, to those that have need. And I'll explain that by saying, when someone is sick, I want to be used by the Lord. Do you still have a headache? Now, I want that more than I want to live. I want that more than I want to live. I don't even want to live without that. Now, Sister Black came to me and she had, we may call it a type of migraine headache. Back of her head. I've had those things before, and they're killers. I can take a lot of pain. My pain tolerance is high. I don't know what I could tell you. Just I can handle a lot of pain, and I can take stitches without any kind of anesthesia, or I can watch lacerations being sewed up. And any preacher that can't handle that does not need to be in the preaching business. Because the last thing in the world anybody needs is for you to faint when there's some kind of problem. And I know a preacher, and some of you know the same preacher, that every time he saw a drop of blood, he'd faint. Preacher did. But nonetheless, one thing that I cannot handle is a headache. A headache is one of the worst kinds of problems to me. Headache. And I know what it is to have what you may call a migraine headache. Sister Black said that thing had been there for 2 weeks, a week. Can you imagine a solid week of that kind of tension headache? A week. And she come right down here and she said, "I still have it right now. And the Spirit of the Lord came on me." I felt that. I know what it's like. I know what it feels like. I know when it happens. I know when I feel that kind of anointing or that kind of visitation of God, I know right then what God's going to do. I feel it. I understand that. And when I prayed for her, I didn't just pray for her and make it just kind of a passing prayer. And I knew when I prayed for her that God healed her. I want that more than I want anything in the world. I want to be used by God. I want to be used by God. If I have any major frustration in my life, in my relationship to God, it is praying for some people that are not healed instantly, because I want everybody to be healed. But there is a reason for some things, and the Lord doesn't always do it just the way we want it to be done. But I sure like it when I see it coming. Hallelujah. Everybody understand what I'm saying? I love it when I see it coming. And it's such a wonderful thing. I want to be used. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 4. I think just a few days ago I read from this portion of Scripture. I'm going to talk to you about something today that is very, very easy, very simple, but yet very powerful. Book of Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 31. And when they had prayed, everybody say, when they prayed. How many of you folks like for things to happen when you pray? Hallelujah. How many of you have learned that when it doesn't happen, when you pray, that you learn to go ahead and keep praying anyhow? You keep on praying. But when they had prayed, instantly, I like instant results. I am addicted to this instant society. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and I really like that. I'd like to see everybody in this room be filled with the Holy Ghost today. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Would the church say amen? Amen. Shake your neighbor's hand around you, and then you can be seated. In the 33rd verse of the 4th chapter of the book of Acts, there are four words that I want to build for the next few minutes the message on that I want to preach to you. And that is, and with great power, with great power. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. With great power. I was raised in a church back in the northern part of Florida. And my old pastor and his wife have gone on to meet the Lord. And so many of the people that I grew up with, even young people, people that were in my class and my age bracket, many of them have gone on to meet the Lord. And I thank the Lord for everything that I was taught. I don't know how it was here at this church under the leadership of Brother Hemphill and other churches where many of you were raised in your childhood or 20 years or 30 years or 40 years ago. But it was last year, July. Well, in fact, I guess this year, this July, 40 years ago, when I came into the church and the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost at 13 years old. And during this 40-year period of my life, a lot of things have taken place. I cannot stand here and tell you that I have been on fire for God for 40 years. I can't tell you that I've had Moses' rod in my hand for 40 years. Or that I have walked in revelations and dreams. But I can tell you that I'm stronger today than I was when I started. I can tell you that for sure. I was raised in a church that when I came to this church 30 years ago, a little more than 30 years ago, I was very shocked at the wholeness standard of this church. Sister Shirley and I were not raised on the kind of teaching this church was raised on, period. Not just wholeness standard, but Bible just Bible depth and teaching and good things. Brother Hemphill put a lot of good things in the heart of you people that are here that were here during those years. There are many of you still here today, and there every church in this town, every church in this city has benefited from the people that Brother W.T. Hemphill taught and raised up. But I came to this church and I was so convinced that the church that I raised in was the ultimate of the power of God that I thought that was just really it. Well, my pastor was quite intent on convincing us that we had the best thing going. I still remember a lot of his statements and the way he taught us. And I believe that. I believe that nobody had what we had going. And the illustration of a powerful visitation of God was usually confined to a good old 15-minute shout on Sunday night. Maybe 30 minutes. I don't know if it ever went much longer than that. I've commented on this a few times, and I know there are people here that still remember some of that. I know that Janet Rowell has been around church all her life. Brother Tandy don't know nothing about anything but Living Way, hardly. He just spoiled on Living Way. But Brother Rick and I, years ago, we took Brother Tandy turkey hunting, and we spoiled him on turkey hunting because he had a good place. And then after we didn't have that good place, then turkey hunt was a challenge to Brother Tandy. We talk about that a lot. But Brother Tandy also come into one of the best churches in Pentecost. Of course, it hasn't always been top of the world, but nonetheless, I was raised in a church that if you talked about power, it was a fast song and some loud music. And when we had a shout and a jump and a jerk, and as Brother Jeff Arnold would say, we juked and jived a little while. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something else. I believe a whole lot of what we did was juking and jiving. Say, Brother Shirley, you better watch out. You might blaspheme. Well, I might, but you wasn't there. I was there. Would you believe that I was raised in a church that not... Well, let me take this back. One musician out of the crowd of about five musicians had the Holy Ghost. Only one. And when church was over... Now, of course, I wasn't the one I was talking about. Of course, I wasn't always involved in music. But when I got involved, we had men that played all kind of musical instruments. Guitars, mandolins, lead guitar, rhythm guitars. Now, we didn't have keyboards and organs. We didn't even have a piano. We didn't have any of that. We were country's cornbread. But these men, we had one man that he played part-time for the church and part-time for night spots. And my pastor allowed it. I didn't know any better. I thought that was the way to do it. I still remember his name, Billy McGee. Still remember old Billy. Everything was funny. I remember Billy McGee. I remember Floyd Manning. I still remember V.R. Bray. V.R. Bray was one of the best mandolin players I think ever played outside of a professional band. I remember a man by the name of Bobby Hargrove. Bobby Hargrove was as near professional with an electric guitar as anybody I knew. But Bobby Hargrove never did get in the church and live for God. Billy Bray, or V.R. Bray, as far as I know, never did get in the church and live for God. And Billy McGee never did get in church and live for God. Never. When these men, when they come in and played for congregational singing and special singing, when that was over with, when the singing was over and they propped up their instruments, they went outside and they smoked their cigarettes and they shot dirty jokes and they laughed and talked until time for the altar call.
And they come back inside and play for the altar call for people to get the Holy Ghost. I was raised on that all my life. Brother Shirley, you've got to be kidding. Now I'm not kidding. And I thought it was the greatest demonstration of the power of God when we shouted and worshiped and did our thing. I didn't realize how weak the church was until I left home and I began to see what God was doing in other places. When I went back and tried to explain to my pastor what I was seeing, I never rebuked him, but I was very strong in the sense that I told him, I said, his name was Godwin, H.E. Godwin. I said, Brother Godwin, you are failing these people by not teaching them what they need to hear. I said, at least teach them they need the tithe of their income. He called me Brother Carl. He said, Brother Carl, if I tell these people they need to pay tithe, I'm going to lose a lot of them. I said, lose them and build something that's right. But that didn't make sense. I'm giving you this illustration of a portion of my life to make a point today. I was raised in that, and I'm here to tell you, if we had a screaming, jumping, running fit, that was a demonstration of the power of God. So I thought. And we did that while the music was going, and we quit when the music quit. We did that while fast songs were being sung, and when the song was over, that was the end of that. Just recently, Brother Mike Disatel may know about this incident. I would be most certain that he would. But in a church near us, there was a young man caught up in the same stuff, so I was told. This young man was one of the first to shout and dance and leap and run the aisles. And it was a kind of a situation that when the song was being sung, there was a demonstration of power, and I've seen when songs were sung and they would play fast music and loud music, sing fast songs for an hour, and for a solid hour, everybody would shout and sweat and shirt tails be jerked out and clothes, hair bows fly everywhere, and bobby pins and high-heeled shoes get kicked off, and that was a demonstration of the power of God. And then when the music stopped and the song was over, everybody started looking for bobby pins and hair bows and putting the shirts back in. That's not the way it is. Nothing wrong with a fast song. Nothing wrong with loud music. Nothing wrong with worshiping God when we have music and singing. Nothing wrong with all that. But somewhere along the line, I found out that these things do not portray the real operation of the power of God. It does not. Did you see? Now listen, a few days ago, I walked out the back door here a while ago with Brother Mike Disatel, and out here on our property, we have a tree. One tree. Back here a few days ago, we had a thunderstorm come through here. Lightning hit that hardwood oak. What kind of tree is that? A white oak? Lightning hit that tree. And when lightning hit it, it exploded. It blew the tree up. That tree could have stood the impact of a semi and stayed there. An automobile at 50 miles an hour could have disintegrated against that tree, and the tree would have stayed there. But just one flashing, instant bolt of lightning, and it disintegrated. It was blown practically to pieces and instantly killed. I had one on the property back off of Brown Street about the same size. When lightning hit it one day, it took chunks of bark about as much as 2 pounds each, like shrapnel, and it threw that stuff as much as 100 feet away. It literally blew the tree up. God is the author of that power. there was no song. If there was any song, it was in the wind. There was no music. If there was any music, it was in the thunder. But that was a demonstration of power. When Sister Black was healed of a migraine headache here just a few moments ago, there was no bolt of lightning. There was no rumbling thunder. There was no music or a song. Maybe they were singing. But the point is, the same power that blew that oak tree apart out there is the power that healed her right here. We are just beginning, I think, to realize that the power of God is not always in some expression, but the power of God is there all the time, real, full of authority, full of power to do whatever we need at any time. Right. Nobody needs to shout to get healed or shout to get the Holy Ghost. The power of God is there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know that we have a lot of people come down here and pray. And my pastor was a kind of man that, and I'm not being critical of him, I'm just telling you what I was raised on. My pastor was the kind of man, he preferred to see people fall out in the Spirit. He would rather, when he prayed for somebody, see them fall out in the Spirit. That was indication or demonstration of the power of God affecting that person. I am anti. I'm just the opposite. I don't mind people falling out in the Spirit. If you feel it coming, just get with it. The only problem around here is if you fall out, you'll get stepped on. I mean, usually there's somebody crazy turning corners at 25 miles an hour around here, and you'll get run over. So we pick you up quick when you fall out in the Spirit around here. Not that we don't want you down there. It's dangerous. And now, if you think I'm maybe being a little bit humorous about this, we've had some ladies and some men too that have got shoes in the face because they were laying on the floor when this place went nuts. So we instantly either have someone there to guard you or get you up real quick. So either way, that's why we do that. But to have a church service that you sing a song and everybody just gets excited and shouts. You know what we used to do? I've been saying this lately. And this morning I've got it bad. I've got a bad case of it. But if we had one of those kind of services, that in the song service with all those guitar players and mandolin players, I'm going to tell you something else, folks. Bobby Hargrove was my friend. He was, as I said, one of the best lead guitar players I've ever seen. Bobby Hargrove, at about 45 years old, fell dead on his front lawn with a heart attack cutting his grass. He's gone. Never did get in church and live for God that I know. V.R. Bray is gone. A heart attack took him out of this world and he's gone. I can't do anything about that. And I'm going to tell you something else. For Nikki Kerrigan or for Debbie Hayslip or for Kathy Salisbury, or for the drums and for the guitar player, I'm not going to allow these people to sit up here and go to hell under my ministry. I'm not going to allow that. I may not can make them live for God, but one thing for sure, I'm not going to let them go outside and smoke cigarettes while I'm preaching. I was raised on it. And I thought that was the real power of God. The reason today I'm affected by this, and I keep telling you, the older I get, the more rambling I do here lately, and reminiscing. Brother Troy said yesterday, he waited till my back was turned, and he told Mom, he said, "I can tell Dad's getting old. He puts up with things now he didn't used to." Well, Dad's not only getting old, Dad's getting a little smart on some things. Some things I found out, they'll solve themselves if you give them a little bit of time. I never let anything solve itself when I was young. I just tore into it. Like a guy trying to fight a wasp nest or something, you know. Somebody come along and told me a few years later that a bulldog could whip a skunk, but it wasn't worth it. And I've never forgotten that statement. And I found out the older I get, sometimes stirring stink is the worst thing you can do. But don't misunderstand that. I'm not afraid, friend. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. And there's some stuff right now that's kind of hanging around the edge of this congregation. I just hadn't started slapping yet. But I'm just about at my rope's end to let it keep coming. And if usually these things, I handle them privately. But I'm telling you now, we've come too far to allow some old spirit to come in here and sit down and grin at us and threaten what we've got in this place. I mean it. Hallelujah. I want to be merciful. I want to be kind and show compassion. But more than anything in this world, I want to be used by God. I want God's anointing in my life more than I want the favor or the compliment of any person. I want God's anointing in my life. I want God's anointing in my life. For years, for probably as many as 30 years, I have been aware that God was going to do something to me in the last days that has not yet come to pass. But I'm here to tell you one more thing, and I'm being popped this morning, if you want to use that. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Not one preacher taught me about women cutting their hair. Not one preacher taught me about pantsuits, makeup, jewelry, or about any of that. Brother Hemphill told me at one time it would be better for my wife and I if we didn't wear rings when we come to this church. I didn't know why. I didn't know why until I become a pastor, and it was years later. But everything that I teach you, I did not hear that from a preacher. I didn't hear it from a man or a conference or a conference speaker. Everything I taught you, I teach you, everything that I preach was worked out between me and God. And it's fixed right here, son. I mean, it's embedded right here. I got it in all-night prayer meetings. I got it in visitations of God's Spirit. And it's fixed. I've got it in here. So you see, I know, or let me say that I understand the difference in those old-time shouting services when we had a good time and the presence of God was there and we felt those electrodes and goosebumps and all that kind of stuff. But I thank God that you in this church family have come to a place in your lives that's deeper than that. And it comes through prayer and fasting and dedication, consecration. It comes through everything you're doing. Your tithe and offerings make you a part of the blessings of God. Your faithfulness, your giving, your unity, your consecration, your holiness. If somebody years ago, someone had asked me to come to a conference and teach on what it took to become a growing church or an effectively growing church. Or I remember when they wanted me to take an hour and talk about the ministry of saints. And I said, that's ridiculous. You can't talk about the ministry of saints in an hour. You can't teach thoroughly or completely on the ministry of saints in a number of hours. It takes time. And what God has done in your lives is the result of time and years of investment in good things and right things. We have a strong body, and I thank God for it. The Bible said, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. With great power. Jesus told the disciples in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Let me read some scriptures to you just for a moment. I still have a few minutes. But you know this scripture in 1:7 and 1:8. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. That's what I said, I think, Wednesday night or Thursday night. I am not trying to figure out when God's coming back. I am concerned about the coming of the Lord. I'm concerned about the unfolding of prophecies in the last days. I'm concerned about all that. But Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in His own power, but you shall receive power. You've heard that. You know that. You could quote that as well as I could, no doubt. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And after you receive power through the Holy Ghost, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the utmost parts of the earth. You shall be witnesses. If you want to know why we have the constant promotion of prayer among our people, worship, why we worship like we do, and you are encouraged, do you know that worship has become a practice in this congregation? Worship is a practice. Prayer is a practice. If there is one person in this church that is weak in prayer, it's your fault. There is enough promotion for prayer and worship in this place that every one of you could be spiritual giants. Hallelujah. And I realize in some congregations, and maybe I could say this today without any reserve whatsoever. I've been in churches when we were evangelizing for years. I've been in churches. Now, of course, Brother Disatel, Brother George, Brother D.L., Sister Rhonda, Brother Mike, Sister Sharon, you go to churches. Have you been to any church to preach a revival where the people didn't pray? Most of them. Now, listen, he's not just trying to make you feel good. I know the difference. A lot of you sitting here don't know the difference. You ever been to a church where the preacher didn't pray? Preacher walk in at church time. Or late. Grandstand. I know some pastors that they like to grandstand their entry. I've got some friends that they want to wait till church has started and have everybody stand up while they walk in. That's all right. You see me come in late. It's not because I want a grandstand. There's a reason. Something's going on. Could be a number of reasons. But something is going on when I come in here after church starts. But preachers that don't pray and congregations that don't pray. And you know I've got to be an angel because I'm always harping on it. Add a little humor to it. But prayer is so important to the anointing of God in our lives. And then I'm standing there complaining if you don't pray long enough, if you get up and sit down on the pew, or this crazy preacher will even come by and say, are you talking or praying? Two heads together, and you see them. I've seen folks that they were talking to one another and they were acting like they were praying. I've seen that. I go over and say, y'all talking or y'all praying? Oh, no. Somebody ought to shoot that preacher. He's nuts. He's a dictator. That's what he is. I heard it. And he is. He's a dictator. But you see, I know the difference. You won't appreciate that statement much, I don't think. But I know the difference. I know the difference in the demonstration of the power of God. Now you see, I have friends in the ministry today. Once again, our preachers know this. But some of you sitting here are not even aware, and you're going to think that I am absolutely insane to make such a statement that I'm going to make. But these preachers that are here today, and a whole lot of you can confirm the fact. Forget about Brother Shirty. I am nothing but a tool. I am not God. I'm not anything special. You're special because you have listened to what has been taught and put it into practice. You are God's church, God's bride. And I thank God for you. But the whole point is not a whole lot of preachers can come here and preach. Not a lot of preachers can come here and preach. Now, you say, now, Brother Charter, you're being hard today. I'm rambling. I've got 2 pages of notes, and I'm not even into them yet. But I want to talk to you a little bit. I don't ever talk to you quite like this. But when I came to this church, almost 33 years ago, when I came to this church, I thought I was deep and good. I thought, now, I've been places that I could get up and preach a little bit, and those people would go, they'd just go berserk. And I thought I had it. I remember one night preaching in Philadelphia, Mississippi. And the place was so crowded, an old wooden building. Honest to God, I believe it was almost as big as this. And they had big old wooden shutters that they didn't have windows or screens. You just fought mosquitoes and bugs and everything else. And I still remember that night that people were hanging in every window from the outside. They couldn't get inside the building. They were just standing at the windows trying to look inside. And that night, I still remember, I preached your message. That's right. She's been telling me, you need to preach a message for me. And that it was that message that night. And those people went nuts. And I was 21 years old, and I thought, boy, you're good, you know it. It took me a little while to find out I was nothing. Because the next place, I tell you what, this wasn't the next place. But I came into this place and I saw the depth of teaching and prayer. And I realized how simple and shallow I really was. This church 32 years ago challenged me to what I have become today. I'm serious. Brother Hemphill had an effect on me that helped make me some of what I am today. And I thank God for that. After I came to this church, I embarked on a 3-year campaign of studying the Bible day and night. I was putting somewhere around 18 to 20 hours a day into reading and studying and research until at the end of 3 years. I don't tell you this kind of stuff much. But at the end of 3 years, I couldn't find very many preachers that could talk to me about the things that I'd learned. And it all came between me and God. God taught me. Now, I'm just telling you what happened to me after I left here. And from that time to this, I've grown in the Lord. Prayer, consecration, spiritual gifts, operation of the Spirit, minister of saints. Every single one of these things came to me by divine visitation and revelation of God. And that's why there is such power in these things when they are presented and preached. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Some of you don't, I'm sure. But there is a difference. This is not something... I am not a book reader. I don't know in my whole life if I've gotten 12 sermons out of reading a book or listening to tapes. I'm not a person to listen to tapes. I want to hear from God. And I want the Lord to tell me what the people needs to hear. And because of that, God has done some phenomenal things in our lives. In fact, I got so carried away that, you know, when I came here, when I was 21 years old, I had an 8th grade education. 8th grade. Y'all didn't know that, did you? 21 years old. I was a hard-headed know-it-all. I just knew how to beat my way through life. I was arrogant. I remember the first time I asked my wife, what did she think about me while we were dating? I didn't ever want to see her again after she told me. You are arrogant and overbearing. I don't remember just the words that she used, but she was right. And it took me years to get rid of that, even after we got married. But I was just a lot of things that you can fill in the middle. But at 21 years old, I had an 8th grade education. The 3 years after I left this church, I went on a personal pursuit of education. When I was 25 years old, I took an exam to finish my high school. And when I took that exam, I had a second year level in college education at 25 years old because I was determined to learn. I ain't never talked to y'all like this. Y'all put up with me a little while? I'm telling you that I know the difference in what we are and what I have been. And what some of you have been. I know the difference. I can look over this congregation now and watch you worship God, and I can enjoy and appreciate what God has done for us. And I look at some of you sometimes and you don't know the difference and you don't really appreciate. If you think it's like this everywhere and we need to move up, I want you to keep thinking like that. I want you to keep thinking that we're like second grade level of kindergarten students to every other Pentecostal church in the world, and we need a move. I want you to keep thinking that way. We're not in competition with nobody, but I want to be used of God. I'm not looking for a position, a compliment. I do want to be appreciated. I do want to be loved. I do want to be liked. But more than any of that, I want to be used of God. It is going to take commitment from me. I tell every one of these young preachers, I told Brother Mike Disatel when he talked about being called to preach. No doubt, Brother Deal George, every young preacher that's gone out of this church, I can't make you a preacher and I can't stop you from being one. I'll be here for you. I'll help you and stand by you. But the ministry is a relationship to God that you yourself have to pursue. That's between you and God. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Bible said that they with great power gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord. With great power. Once again, it goes something like this. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Let me just read you two or three things that I think will make sense. Now, the book of John chapter 1, now that old scripture fits right into this, where the Bible said He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Now, I said a moment ago, and I know you got real quiet when I made this statement. I've said this a long time ago. Y'all are going to have to forgive me today. I am rambling like crazy. There are a lot of people in this assembly that read the book of Brother Son Warbington. Anybody here read the book on Brother Warbington? What was the name of that book? Anybody remember what the name of it was? I cannot remember. I've got it in my library in there. Brother Son Warbington wrote a book. In that book, he talked about his experience over the years. Most of what was in that book was his experience with people and preachers. Preachers and people. And he talked about preachers that came to that church and caused trouble. That came in there and they were carnal, and what else? I could probably have a lot of names for it. But they came into the church and caused trouble, caused him trouble. They would say things and do things, and they were down on him. Just a few days ago, and this is what brought all this to mind, a couple of our kids that are part of mine and Sister Shirley's ministry talked on the phone this week, and they were beat down. I mean, just beat down. They had gone through a tormenting period of their life. They needed revival real bad and had an evangelist and his wife come by. They had it all, truck and travel trailer and everything, set up out on the church property and had revival. The kids live in an area that it's financially suppressed. They don't have a lot of money. And the first week, I think they gave this family something like $600 and gave them all the food they could eat on top of that. That's not a lot of money. But nobody in that area made that kind of money. And the next week, the evangelist's wife said, "We don't eat that kind of stuff." This is in a little country town now, 30 miles from the nearest town where any big store is. And the evangelist's wife said, "We'd rather have a pounding." That's what they needed. Y'all don't know what a pounding is, huh? We used to know. I haven't sent anybody home with you folks in a while like Brother Hempfield used to do, and we need to do that again too. But anyhow, she said, we don't eat the kind of things that they're bringing on fixed food, so we would rather have a pounding. Pounding is when you bring food that's in cans and containers and that type of stuff. You know, we bring it in and preacher fixes it on its own. And she said, plus, if you bring this kind of vegetable, we want this name bread. And if you bring this, we only eat this kind. Hey, this happened in 1995. This wasn't back in the roaring 20s. And they grumbled and complained about not getting enough money. And the pastor and his wife didn't even get that kind of money. You know, I've always been nuts. When I was evangelizing, we would go to churches that only had 15 or 20 people in the congregation. Yeah, it took money to get by. I'll say this for Brother Mike Disitel, and he's already heard me say this, I'm sure. But I went to a small church just like I went to a large church. I've had pastors say, "Brother Shirley, we've got a small church and we can't afford to pay you very much." I said, every time, I said, "Don't worry about it. Just give me what comes in." And I'd get more money there than I would at a large church. Because God took care of me. We had a bunch of people, and I know Brother Olson and Sister Avis can still remember this. Sister Shirley and I were evangelizing here in the Louisiana area many years ago. And I mean, we were having it rough, friend. I'm telling you, we were having it rough. And they all poured out from Jesus Only here in Balkanville to that church. And these people brought some money because God had let them know we needed it. And because we had a big crowd and a big offering come in that night, the pastor kept it. Y'all didn't think things like that ever happened, did you? You wouldn't hardly imagine that. I never went back. And he's gone on to meet the Lord. That's between him and God. But Brother Warbington talked about preachers that came in and caused trouble. You know what this evangelist and his wife did? And this has been this year in 1995. They talked about, what are you doing in this community? You are too high class to be in this low class community. There's not going to be any revival here. Why don't you get your family out of here? Your children are going to be lost and cast into hell because you're pastoring this church. I've never had an evangelist do that to me. You know why? They know better. Now, if you think that's a joke, that's not really a joke. Brother D.L. George and his wife, when I first came here, I hadn't been here but just a few weeks, and they went and visited a church close to us, and there was a preacher preaching revival. He told me they were going, and I don't know if I knew it before they heard this preacher preach, but this man that night while they were preaching, I almost said a wrong word. Whew, glad I didn't say that. You'd have been laughing in the dark on that. But you know what this preacher's message was about that night? It was about women wearing white underwear. Am I right? I think the purity, that they didn't need to wear colored underwear in a congregation. But this man had been famous for vulgar statements. I've never had any of that happen. I don't put up with it. And that's why we have unity in this place. And that's why the power of God has remained with us. We don't tolerate that. Huh? Now, you forgive me if I seem to have been personal or vulgar in what I just said. I don't mean to. I'm telling you, this junk is going on with preachers. With preachers. And it's hard for some congregations to tell what is the power of God and what is not. But I'm telling you, the power of God is real. And it doesn't matter what this world does. Even though the magicians of Pharaoh, they could work miracles. It had nothing to do with what Moses and Aaron did when God sent them down to deliver the people out of Egyptian bondage. I want to be used of God. I want to be used of God. Play for me, Sister Kathy. I want to be used of God. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Resurrection? Jesus said, I am giving you power to become. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1 through 5 says it like this, And brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I said a moment ago, not all preachers could come here and preach. We have got, in the ranks of Pentecost, we've got some of the best performers. Hollywood has nothing on the Pentecostal church. We've got some good actors. And we've got congregations that don't pray and can't tell the difference. Our conferences and camps and conventions are infected with men that are good performers. They know how to do it, friend. They're professional. You don't need the power of God. Sure, I've learned some things over the year, and there's some things that I might could do. There are things that I might could do to you to get you excited and get you to shout with me. But more than anything in the world, I want a demonstration of the power of God. I want the Spirit of God to move in this place. I want you, when you're in pain, to be healed instantly. I want you, when you're ready to live for God, I want you to instantly receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know what the Bible said? Jesus was in a certain place, and there was a man, I believe this is the incident, there was a man that was possessed or afflicted with palsy. And when Jesus looked at this man lay on his bed, He said, Son, thy sins are forgiven you. And the religious rulers of the day reprimanded him and said he had blasphemed. That's when Jesus said, Is it easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or take up thy bed and walk? And so that they would know who he was or what power he had, he spoke to the sick of palsy and told him to get up and take his bed and walk. And he did just that. And the Bible said, The power of the Lord was present to heal. I started to read that scripture this morning as an introductory scripture. The power of the Lord was present to heal. You know the difference. How many of you sense in your spiritual sensitivity when the power of the Lord is present to heal? Any of you ever felt that before? All right. I'm telling you, and it can be confirmed here today, that not a lot of congregations understand the difference. In a good performance, in a good demonstration of somebody's ability and talent, and a demonstration of the power of God. I'm going to deal with this a little bit more. So today, thank you for putting up with me for these few minutes. I'm not trying to be critical of my past or of anybody else's state. The point is, I want you to grow in what you have and appreciate what God has given to you. Let's sing a chorus together, can we?
You can use anything.
Would you stand up with us? Why don't you sing it with the group this morning?
Oh,
Today is a little bit of an explanation of why I have this drive inside of me, because I know the difference. I've been there. I came out of some things that I don't ever want to go back to. I've learned some things that I don't ever want to lose. But one thing I have learned that I don't ever want to give up, and that is we can walk with God if we choose. And we can have an anointing of God in our lives. And when the Holy Ghost comes into our lives, it comes with power. Father, we thank you for being here with us today. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing of your Spirit. We thank you for the power. We thank you for the unity.